My dear friends in Christ, as I mentioned before Mass, today is called the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, sometimes also referred to as the Triumph of the Cross. There are two feast days in the course of the church year in honor of the Holy Cross. The other is on May the 3rd and is called the Finding of the Holy Cross. Helena, Saint Helena, the mother of Constantine, went to Jerusalem in, I believe, the year 326 to find the cross. And when she found the cross, she divided it into three parts. She left the main portion there in Jerusalem on the Hill of Calvary in a church dedicated to our Lord, to the Holy Cross. She sent a portion of it to Constantinople for her son Constantine. And she also sent a portion to Jerusalem and had a church built there called the Church of the Holy Cross in Rome. Now, several hundred years later, there was a war, and the Persians came and attacked Jerusalem, and the general or the king of the Persians conquered the city and took the relic of the cross from Jerusalem back to Persia. And I think this was in the year 628, then an army went to recover the cross and defeated the Persians and took that relic back to Jerusalem. And that is why the feast was established called the Triumph or the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. At any rate, the point here is that we are celebrating a feast day in honor of the Holy Cross. And you think about this. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, redeemed us by dying on the cross. And the cross thereby became a symbol of the followers of Christ. Our divine Lord spoke about the cross in his life. He said, "If you will be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." So you think about, what is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ, one who believes everything that Jesus taught, but also one who does not just believe what Jesus taught, but strives to live in imitation of Christ. And that's the hard thing. Listen to these words of the Imitation of Christ, which, by the way, is one of the most beautiful books ever written, The Imitation of Christ. Jesus has now many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few that are willing to bear his cross. He has many that are desirous of comfort, but few of tribulation. He finds many companions of his table, but few of his abstinence. All desire to rejoice with him, few are willing to suffer with him. Think about those words, how true that is. Many people call themselves Christians. I believe in Jesus. I'm a follower of Christ. But how many really follow him by imitating him, carrying their cross? And what is the cross? The cross for us is anything that is uncomfortable, anything that's hard, anything that's difficult. When we think of the cross, we think of physical pain, illness, suffering. But that's just one kind of cross. There are all kinds of crosses. It can be misunderstanding, especially on the part of our friends and loved ones. It can be financial difficulties. It can be interior spiritual dryness, where we don't have any feeling in our prayer life, and it seems like a drudgery, and yet we pray and live our faith regardless. So there are all kinds of crosses. The point here is that if we are a true follower of Christ, we carry the cross. Now, how hard it is to suffer something and to patiently bear that cross without complaining, without feeling sorry for ourselves. We like to tell everybody else, look for sympathy. And by doing so, we're losing the merit of the cross. And the apostles went forth. They took this teaching of our Lord, if you will be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. And they preached it. They understood what our Lord came to teach. And they lived it and they taught it. Listen to these words of St. Paul to the Corinthians. For the Jews ask for signs, and the Greeks look for wisdom. But we, for our part, preach a crucified Christ. To the Jews, indeed, a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So you think about what St. Paul is saying here. They went forth and preached Jesus Christ, who died for us on the cross. And how many people listened to the apostle and thought, this is absurd? And they rejected their teaching because we all want to look for comfort. We want to look for success in this world and comfort and wealth and so on and so forth. So when the apostles taught following a crucified God, so many people thought that was foolishness. And you read the martyrs. How many martyrs were brought before judges? And the judges would say to them something like, you're following as your God someone who was arrested and put to death as a criminal. And they would say, yes, that is our God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. We believe in him. We follow him. And again, that seemed as absurd to so many. Here's another quote from St. Paul, this one to the Galatians. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. In the Acts of the Apostles, which gives you the story of the early church, the early Christians, etc., the coming of the Holy Ghost, and then the spread and growth of the church, there's a story in there about the apostles when they had cured a man who was lame, Peter and John. And they were brought before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin forbade them to preach the name of Jesus Christ. And because Peter said, if you're looking for a reason how this man was cured, it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And no other name has been given to men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. And then it says that they were forbidden to preach Jesus. And St. Peter said to the Sanhedrin, to the Jewish leaders, we must obey God rather than men. In other words, we can't refrain from preaching Jesus Christ. That's what we have been commanded to do, and that's what we're going to do. Now, it says they were scourged. They were scourged and then released. And it says in the Bible, in the Acts of the Apostles, that they rejoiced that they were found worthy to suffer something for Jesus, to imitate him, to suffer for our Lord. And of course, we look as our great heroes, we look to the martyrs who gave their lives for their faith. But really, all the saints, whether they were martyred or not, if you read the lives of the saints, you find that they carried the cross, that they endured suffering. And in this regard, I want to tell you about one saint, St. Louis Marie de Montfort, who was a French priest. He was ordained in the year 1700 and died in 1716. And in that short lifespan as a priest of 16 years, he accomplished a great deal. He wrote the wonderful book on true devotion to Mary. But he also wrote a booklet that if you've never heard of, you should read sometime. And it's called The Friends of the Cross. And what this booklet is about is he traveled around in Western France preaching what were called parish missions. He would go to a church with the permission of the pastor, and he would give a mission, which would be a sermon over a course of a week, every evening or every day, sermons, etc. And wherever he traveled, wherever he gave a parish mission, the people were changed. And he brought about a tremendous change. In fact, it was said that you could tell 100 years later where he had given missions. That was the effect of his preaching, because people changed their lives. They taught their children. Those children grew up, got married, taught their children, and it was from generation to generation. That was the power of his preaching, the success. In fact, this was in, he died in 1716. 1789 was the French Revolution. And where was the resistance? It was in the area where he had preached. He was very successful in spreading the faith and helping the people to live God-centered lives. But he understood the value of the cross. And was said of St. Louis that his biggest cross was not to have a cross. In other words, whenever he had all of this opposition and trials, etc., he knew that God would bless his work. One of the most successful missions he had was he went to this one church, and his enemies were the Jansenists. They were constantly trying to undermine his work. They spread lies about him. They would go to the bishops and try to get the permission withdrawn for him to preach. So there was one parish he went to, and the priest had given him, the pastor had given him permission to have a mission in his parish. So he went there, and between the time he had been given permission and the time of the mission, his enemies had gone to the pastor and spread lies about him, defamed him, etc. But the pastor had already given permission, so this time for the mission to begin, and St. Louis is in the church. He's ready to go into the pulpit to start the mission. And the pastor went up in the front of the church and told the people, "I think you're wasting your time to listen to this priest. He's got some strange ideas, a little crazy. But if you want to stay, you can. But I think you're wasting your time." And he left. Can you imagine that? St. Louis gave this mission. And it was his most successful mission. And what he did before he started to preach is he knelt down before the tabernacle and said the Te Deum. In other words, giving thanks to God for this cross, that he had been defamed. But then he went on and gave the mission, and it was tremendously successful because he carried that cross. So this booklet on the Friends of the Cross was the result of another incident in which he was scheduled to give a mission in this one parish, and his enemies went to the bishop and again undermined him, spread lies, and the bishop withdrew the permission to give to preach in his diocese. So what was he going to do now? He didn't have anything else scheduled. He had gone there to this city to preach, and the permission was taken away, so he went into a Jesuit seminary and thought, "I'll make a retreat. I'm here. I'm forbidden to preach. Well, I'll just make a retreat instead." He made an 8-day retreat. And on the last day of the retreat, he wrote this book. It was called A Circular Letter to the Friends of the Cross. And the entire thing is on how we must carry the cross if we're a follower of Christ. And he says something interesting in here towards the beginning. He says there are two groups that appear before you each day. You could classify all men into two groups. And the groups are the followers of the cross and the followers of the world. And the followers of the cross, of Jesus carrying his cross, is very small. And the followers of the world is very large. And their motto is, let us live, let us rejoice, let us eat, let us drink, let us make merry, let us enjoy life. That's the followers of the world. The followers of the cross, on the other hand, are saying, let us carry our cross. Let us weep. Let us be sorry for our sins. Let us follow Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Let us suffer. Let us carry the cross. Remember the words of our Lord when the apostles asked him? They said, are few saved? What did he say? Jesus said, strive to enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the path, wide is the road, and broad the path that leads to destruction, and many there are who enter that way. How narrow is the gate, and straight the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. So, there are many people that maybe have the true faith, But we have to live it. We have to follow Christ. And St. Louis says something interesting in here is a little poem. He said, he talks about there are three crosses on the hill of Calvary. Our divine Lord and the two thieves. The good thief, the repentant thief, and the unrepentant thief. And St. Louis says those three crosses on the hill of Calvary symbolize the three ways that people suffer. Our Lord, of course, symbolizes those who embrace the cross, who even love the cross, to be like the saints. The repentant thief on our Lord's right is those who at least carry the cross. They don't want it, they don't enjoy it, but at least they carry their cross with patience and resignation. But the thief on the left is those who endure the cross unwillingly, complaining, even cursing God, and reject the cross. So the little poem is, three crosses stand on Calvary's height. One must be chosen, so choose aright. Like a saint you must suffer, or a penitent thief, or like the reprobate in endless grief. And that is so true. We can't get through this life without the cross. There are many trials, many things we suffer every day. We can't avoid it. How do we carry our cross? Do we do it in imitation of our Lord, trying to patiently bear our cross, follow him on the way to Calvary? Or do we complain, feel sorry for ourselves, and try to shirk the cross? And that, by doing that, makes it even more painful. So let us carry the cross. That is our path to heaven. St. Louis says, think about this. St. Paul says that we are members of the mystical body of Christ. Christ is the head, we are the members of his mystical body. And he says, think about this. If the head is crowned with thorns, should the members be reposing on feathers and pillows, etc.? In other words, all comfortable? What a contradiction. And we see that throughout Scripture. Our Lord said to his apostles, he said, if they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. And he told them to rejoice when they have something to suffer for the love of him. So let us then on this wonderful feast of the exaltation of the cross reflect upon what it means to be a true Christian. A true Christian is a follower of Christ, one who carries his cross. And in the cross, we achieve our salvation, our sanctification, our place in heaven that God has destined for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.